This is the Steve Zabin Show on SB Nation Radio. Sitting in for Steve Zabin, here's Ken Weinman.
Well, it took you a few tries, Chris, but you finally nailed it.
I got it.
This is my favorite song from the Rocky IV soundtrack.
I got it.
It's also the montage scene in the where he's thinking back to the past. No easy way out. As we've gone completely Rocky IV off the rails today. Remind you, the Steve Zabin Show brought to you by Sam Adams for the love of beer. Let's switch gears. We'll talk some baseball as pennant races are heating up. And we have some, I'm sure when we booked Mark Normandin, who covers baseball for SB Nation, he didn't expect to be asked about Tim Tebow. But Mark, good morning. Curious to get your thoughts on this Tim Tebow story.
Well, that was a fun thing to wake up to. He was a draft prospect a decade ago. He supposedly didn't fill in his information card and return it to the Angels who were looking to draft him. I'm not exactly clear on like what round they would have, but you know, he had a potential for at least a minor league career, maybe a big league career at some point. But even if he had a ton of skills a decade ago, you know, guys who miss a year or 2 years with injuries kind of fall behind the development curve. So the most likely outcome here is that Tim Tebow tries and fails, but what else has he got going on? He's a broadcaster, and he's still in his 20s, so why not?
Did you think we'd ever see a world where the Yankees would be sellers and moving towards a youth movement?
You know, it seems like something they've had to do the last few years, and they just really wouldn't commit themselves to it. You know, just enough for the veterans would play well to make it seem like, you know, they were a player or a breakout or some good luck away from actually making the playoffs again and making some noise, but the season's really kind of sealed the deal that, like, that, you know, the previous Yankees era is over and it's time for them to move forward. So it's still a surprise to see the Steinbrenners admit it, but it also felt pretty inevitable.
What did you make of the whole A-Rod press conference the other day? It just seems, first of all, when I watched it again, it did strike me that he wasn't wearing anything Yankees during the press conference.
It was kind of awkward. You know, the Yankees spent so much time praising Derek Jeter, who I understand he was, you know, a lifelong Yankee and all that, but it's not like he was any good near the end of his career either.
No, he wasn't.
And nobody forced him out. You know, this was, I think, awkward for pretty much everyone, where it's clear that A-Rod wasn't going to get the league-wide farewell tour that Jeter got, that Mariano Rivera got, that David Ortiz is on right now. Fans weren't going to be receptive to him in the same way. Teams weren't. So this is kind of the way to do it, but it's awkward. You know, the best-case scenario here was awkward retirement.
Talking to Mark Normandin, covers baseball for SB Nation. You mentioned David Ortiz, who's having a fantastic year in what is, he said it's his last year. I don't think he's going to change his mind. It brings up, well, first of all, it brings up whispers of PEDs, but it also brings up the conversation about the Hall of Fame, and he would be the first DH to go in the Hall of Fame. And do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I'm not a huge Hall guy, but I'd like to think I'm a big Hall guy. DH is a position. David Ortiz has been as good at it as anyone. Edgar Martinez is the only guy you could say is better. And I like to think that the Hall, you know, as much as I like numbers, the Hall of Fame is really about telling baseball story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to tell the story of baseball without David Ortiz. You know, this is a guy who is at the center of the most successful run in Red Sox history. Sox are one of the most, you know, one of the oldest teams, one of the most popular teams. How do you have the Hall of Fame without having him in it?
Mark, speaking of telling stories, Ichiro got his 3,000th hit the other day. And to me, I wonder, is he underappreciated? I was lucky enough to be working in the Pacific Northwest his rookie year. And as I tell people, he may be the only guy I've ever watched where the game stopped when he came to the plate and you knew he wasn't going to hit a home run.
Yeah, you know, playing in Seattle for some of the teams he did probably didn't help his national profile, but I do think he's very highly valued and appreciated. It's just there's kind of no limit to how much appreciation we should be giving Ichiro for his career and, you know, who he is. So I do think he's underappreciated in that sense, and that everyone's not falling over themselves in awe every time they see him.
Talking to Mark Normandin, covers Major League Baseball for SB Nation. What happened to Yasiel Puig, Mark? It seemed when he came here, he looked like this comet. He's just become this great player, and now he's in AAA partying after a loss, and it just seems like he's never going to get it back.
You know, I don't think the Dodgers are a good fit for him, mostly because I'm not sure they're really into the idea of Yasiel Puig anymore. But, you know, that's kind of a relationship that needs to be severed, and both of them need a fresh start. there's just too many people in the organization who reportedly don't like Puig, don't like either the effort or the way his body is. You know, they went from saying he was too soft to too muscled to, you know, they can't really seem to get clear on what exactly they want from him, and it's a difficult situation that no one except for Puig and the Dodgers probably knows everything about it.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you think they tried to trade him at the deadline? Are they asking for too much? Are teams not interested?
I would guess that given it's the Dodgers, they are asking for too much. I'm sure they want to be rid of him, but you know, everything has to be this exactly perfectly valued transaction that gets them back a significant amount and doesn't cost them a lot. So, you know, baseball will trade for just about anybody as they can play, as the Aroldis Chapman trade reminded us. You know, if teams think Puig still has it, they'll give something up for him, but it might be more of an off-season deal than anything.
Mark, the AL East, the Baltimore Orioles, I think most of the experts didn't expect much from them this year, in part because they thought their starting pitching would be terrible. The starting pitching at times has been worse than I think people thought, yet here they sit in first place. How are they getting it done?
Pretty much everyone in the AL East who's competing has similar issues, where there's rotation depth issues and there's some pitchers who really aren't doing well. But man, can the Orioles hit. You know, the Red Sox can hit, the Blue Jays can hit, and so can the Orioles. And they've all kind of just taken turns scoring far more runs than they're giving up, even when their pitching's not doing well. And the Orioles are in stretch right now where they're really on top because of that.
Last thing for you, the Giants look like one of the best teams in baseball the first half of the season. What's happened to them since the All-Star break?
The rotation depth really wasn't there. You know, Matt Cain and Jake Peavy have been hard to rely on. They've been inconsistent. Shark has not been what they thought they were getting from him when they gave him almost $100 million. They've got Madison Bumgarner, and that's great, but that rotation just doesn't have a lot going for it, and the bullpen isn't good enough to make up for it, so they're another team where they kind of live and die by their lineup.
Mark Normandin covers baseball for SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at @Mark_Normandin. Mark, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, anytime.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's interesting. The Giants, they looked so good in the first half, and then here they are. They've allowed the Dodgers to stay in the race, and the Dodgers, remember, don't have Clayton Kershaw. And we figured the Dodgers would fall off without Kershaw, and he had a setback in his rehab, and now he's throwing off a flat surface, and they hope to get him back in the future. But he's been out for a while, and the Dodgers are still treading water behind them because the Dodgers have played okay of late, but the Giants have played poorly. I was curious, and the Giants were in this conversation earlier, and I'm a American League fan, but I felt like, at least until the Giants fell in hard times, that the three best teams in baseball, you could argue, were the Nationals, Cubs, and Giants. And so whoever won the American League, and granted the American League gets home field because of that stupid All-Star game rule, but that the National League team would be favored because I just feel like, well, the Nationals have all that pitching, and if they can get their hitting straight, their pitching is ridiculous, and the Cubs seem to have everything. Adding Aroldis Chapman, I think they got Joe Smith from the Angels of setup man to their bullpen, and they have starting pitching, and they have hitting. They have everything. And they didn't have to trade Kyle Schwarber at the deadline to get something who feels a big part of their future. But then the Giants, that pitching depth just isn't there, as Mark pointed out. So I'm curious, will they be able to hold on? And they win the World Series every other year, it seems. And it looked like they were back in the mix. And since the All-Star break, it just hasn't been there. Ken Wyman in for Zabe here on a Tuesday, reminding you you're listening to SB Nation Radio.